memories of what we'd gotten up to in the tent last night with a flush of warmth.
We'll be right there beside you, figuring things out together.
West made a wordless noise of dismissal. My temper flared. Why did he have to make it seem as if he was offended by even the slightest suggestion that I was worthy of the role I'd inherited? I'd been hiking up this mountain right alongside him. Couldn't he cut me a little slack? So what exactly are you planning on doing if you throw away tradition and any hope of making this mate thing work, Mr. Wolfman? I demanded. Annex the canine shifters from the rest of the shifter community? That doesn't sound like it's going to help anyone. West finally turned his penetrating gaze on me.
I don't think you know enough about our community to have any idea what will help or not. When we're finished this ridiculous questing, maybe I'll get to see what you're really made of as a dragon shifter.
Maybe you should open your eyes because I've shown you plenty already. I bit back the snappy retort, swallowing hard. West wanted me to argue with him, wanted me to give him excuses to keep antagonizing me. As if it were my fault that my mother hadn't taught me anything about the shifters, or that the rogues had slaughtered my fathers and sisters to force us into going on the run in the first place. Another memory, a fragment from long, long ago, rose up. So vivid, the rest of the cave fell away. I was sitting on my mother's lap while she brushed my hair, which was knotted from a scramble through the woods with my sisters. She tisked her tongue as she worked through a tangle.
You're lucky I believe in letting children run a bit wild. Otherwise we'd have rules about rolling down hillsides and dangling from trees.
My four-year-old self looked up at her with wide eyes.
You could do that, couldn't you? You get to make the rules for all the shifters.
Mom laughed gently.
Not exactly. Not all by myself. Your fathers and I decide what's best for the community together.
Indeed we do,
my mountain lion shifter father said, sauntering into the room. My other dads followed him. They stood around my mother and me, enveloping both of us, both in an aura of familial love. In the present, I blinked hard at the tears that had started to well in my eyes. My throat had tightened. So much the rogues had stolen from me. I'd barely gotten to know my fathers at all. How much would they have taught me? But I knew how much they'd loved my mother. That was what the mate bond between the alphas and their dragon shifter was meant to look like. I raised my chin, pushing down the pang of loss. If West really believed I'd be a total disaster, he wouldn't still be here. He'd have forsaken me as his mate and taken off to find one he liked better. I just had to keep reminding myself of that. Aaron's flashlight beam caught on a claw-shaped scar on the wall up ahead, a deeper scrape than Mom had left before. For a second, I wasn't sure if this one had been made by her or something else. But as soon as I came up beside it, her energy tickled over my skin. The sense of her presence, and a thicker emotion. I let go of Nate's hand to touch the marks, and a jab of distress jolted through my body. I paused, my fingers twitching toward my palm as if echoing the sweep of her talons. She'd been upset when she'd scratched this mark. In pain, or afraid. What had happened to her here? How had anyone even known she'd come up this way? She'd been so good at covering her tracks. Nate hovered behind me.
What's the matter, Ren?
My mother, I said. When she came through this part of the cave, something was wrong. She was upset, but I can't feel why.
I don't see how we can get much more careful than we already are,
Marco said.
Whatever comes, we'll handle it, Princess. She shouldn't have had to come up here alone.
No, she shouldn't have. I bit my lip, but I forced myself to keep walking.
The sooner we got to the end of this journey, the sooner I'd know what had happened to her. At least, I sure hoped so. If all it led to was another clue to follow, my dragonfire might come out in frustration. The end might be coming up even sooner than I'd guessed. The light caught on a bend in the passage. As we came around it, the tug inside me yanked even harder than before. I stumbled, losing my breath. The second I caught my balance, my feet darted forward across the uneven ground, as if pulled from my control. I knew I could rein them in if I wanted to, but I didn't really. "We're almost there. It has to be close now," I said. The guys picked up their pace, too. Light twinkled above us. I glanced up, thinking we must have come under another crevice to the outside world. Instead, I saw crystalline stalactites glinting overhead, reflecting the artificial glow. A faint vibration emanated off them, quivering into my skin, making me even more energized. Almost there. Almost there. I adjusted my pack's straps on my shoulders and pushed myself into a lope. That pull was reeling me in as if I were a fish on a line, but I was totally okay with that. I was ready for this trek to be done. So, it was my fault, really, that I was at the head of our procession at that moment. My fault that it was my feet the ground trembled under. I slowed as an eerie creaking sound resounded through the cave. The rock beneath my feet felt suddenly insubstantial, as if I'd stepped out onto a thinly frozen lake. And then, it cracked, exactly like the ice I'd been picturing. The ground fractured and started to fall away. My shifter reflexes kicked in, not a second too soon. I threw myself forward. The creaking rose into a full-bodied groan that reverberated through the cave. The pack dragged at my shoulders. Each time my feet hit the ground, the rock kept crumbling. I scrambled on. There was nothing I could do but run and hope I found a solid spot before I fell to. My foot slipped and I nearly crashed onto my knees. With a yelp, I heaved my body through the air as far as I could manage. I stumbled, caught my balance, and realized the ground had steadied.
"Ren!"
Someone shouted behind me, and someone else said,
"She's okay. Let her get her bearings."
I turned cautiously, not quite trusting the stone beneath me yet. My jaw went slack. Between me and my alphas, some 10 feet of the cave floor had dropped away into a jagged chasm. I was standing just a couple feet from its edge. I crept closer to peer into its depths. Nothing but darkness showed below. It was so deep, I hadn't even heard the clatter of the crumbling rock hitting the bottom. I'd almost hit that bottom. My stomach knotted. If I'd reacted any slower...
"Are you all right, Ren?"
Nate called to me. I nodded, still lost for words. Marco gave an exasperated chuckle.
"Because we really needed more excitement on this trip." "All right. I'm not jumping that with luggage. Good thing we didn't pack anything breakable."
He shrugged off his pack and tossed it over the chasm. It landed with a thump. The other guys followed suit. I thought they might strip down to take the leap in their animal forms. Possibly I was looking forward to that view. But I guessed shifter strength made the jump not too much of a challenge even in human bodies. Two at a time, they took a running start and sprang across the chasm. Nate's brawny body hit the ground near me with a thud, and one last creak carried through the cave. The hairs on the back of my neck rose. I studied the edges of the chasm in the dim light as the guys dusted themselves off.
"How did that even happen?" I said. "It doesn't make sense. A big gap like this wouldn't just appear with a tiny bit of rock over top. It's almost like it was..."
"A trap,"
West filled in.
"How long did it take you to figure that out, Sparks?"
I glared at him, but Aaron spoke up before my tongue got away from me.
"It was definitely purposefully constructed. You said you could feel we're almost at the place your mother wanted you to reach, Serenity. A place that holds some kind of important power. It's possible there's magic protecting that place, and the trap was meant as a test of worthiness or determination.
Oh, it's possible we've got some magical friends unhappy we didn't die of poison, Marco said. I'm starting to come around to Wolf Boy's point of view, as much as it pains me to admit that.
Is there any way to tell what kind of magic was used? I asked. Fae or otherwise. Aaron shook his head.
It would have been beneath the layer of rock, holding it in place, so it fell away at the same time.
He glanced at me.
But we made it past. You kept your head and got yourself out of there. Whatever power your mother wanted you to have, no one's going to stop you from getting it, are they?
No, I said with a fresh burst of resolve. So let's get a move on before we have to deal with anything worse.
9. Nate. As I hefted my heavy pack from where I'd tossed it across the chasm, a splinter of pain shot through my chest down to my gut. I set my jaw, trying not to let the discomfort show on my face. Even with all the rest I'd gotten yesterday and the slow pace we'd set after, the poison was still in my system, still making me weaker than I should have been. I hated it. We might have gotten all the way to the end of this cave yesterday if we could have kept up our usual pace. Hell, if I'd noticed the off smell in the biscuits when I'd first grabbed one, I could have stopped Marco from eating them too. I'd been complacent, and my mate was suffering because of it. Wren was taking it all in stride. She adjusted her own pack against her back and smiled at me when she caught me looking at her. That quick gesture warmed me even with the twist of pain and guilt in my gut. Remembering her hands on me last night, her soft sighs of pleasure, the sweet taste of her skin. Okay, that line of thinking wasn't going to help her either. Someone was out to sabotage our journey here, to kill us if they could. They'd literally torn the ground out from under us. I had to stay focused on the present, on defending Wren from our enemies. How could I be worthy of our mate bond if I didn't? If I'd waited all this time only to lose her now, I couldn't stand that thought. It made me feel sicker than the poison had. Marco shot one last glance down the chasm and sauntered over. "I say we send Bear Boy ahead from here on," he said in his annoyingly jaunty tone. "If the floor holds under all that bulk, the rest of us won't need to worry." West snorted. I glowered at Marco. "I'm happy to take the lead if you're a scaredy cat." "Oh," he said, grinning. "The bear got in a burn. Not bad, Nate." Wren rolled her eyes. "Come on, guys, I'll take the lead if the rest of you are going to stand around debating it." She moved to set off, and I strode ahead of her. For the first few steps, I wasn't aware of much except the need to assert my intentions and Marco's mocking chuckle. Then a faint scent reached my nose that didn't fit the cold rock around us. I stopped, holding out my arm. "Stay back. Something's not right." West came up beside me as I inhaled again. His wolf's nose was the strongest out of all of us, but I could hold my own in that area when I concentrated. A faintly musky smell lingered in the air, something living, something animal. And we hadn't seen a single animal since we descended into this cave, other than our glimpse of that weasel the Fae had taken care of. "You're right," West said with a frown. He stalked a little farther ahead, scanning the cave around us. I wasn't going to be left behind. I followed him, testing the air myself. If anything, the scent got fainter. I turned and paced back the way we'd come. Wren watched me, her brow knit with concern. My stomach twisted tighter, seeing her worry. "It's strange," I said. "It's the strongest right around here. Whatever animal left that smell, it must have stopped here for a while. But then where did it go? We didn't pass anything on our way here." "There's nothing I can pick up farther this way," West said from the spot where I'd left him. "It's so faint I can't get a clear read on it. Maybe it's old." He sounded doubtful, probably because it didn't smell stale to him any more than it did to me. The faintness was more as if it had been washed over somehow to try to remove the scent, with just a few lingering traces remaining. And that would mean someone had tried to cover their scent trail on purpose, so we wouldn't catch on. My shoulders tensed. You couldn't get much more suspicious than that. "Can you tell what kind of animal it was?" Aaron asked. I shook my head. It didn't really matter. If even a little weasel could pose a threat, we couldn't trust anything. "We should walk close together," I said, motioning the other alphas over. "All of us around Wren, so there's no way anyone can get at her without going through us. If the rogues are planning another ambush, we have to be ready."
"I don't need a human shield," Wren protested. "Why don't we just..."
With a snarl, a blur of fur shot through the air toward her from the wall above. A bellow of warning broke from my throat. I leapt in front of my mate, pushing her backward and bracing myself to shift to meet the threat.
Wren. The force of Nate's shove sent me stumbling back toward the wall. I gritted my teeth, feeling my dragon wake up with a scrabble of claws in my chest. No one got to push me around, not even my mates. What the hell was even happening? The flashlight had fallen after the snarl I'd heard. Its light rotated around the cave as it spun. It caught on Nate, already shifted into his grizzly bear form. He was trying to pin down a spotted wildcat that had come out of nowhere. It kept squirming out from under his paws. Aaron's eagle dove down to add his talons to the mix. Across from them, West's wolf and Marco's jaguar were faced off with a big black weasel-like creature my mind vaguely registered as a wolverine. It hissed and snapped at them with razor-sharp fangs. Nate gave the wildcat a smack as it clawed at him. The impact sent it careening over the edge of the chasm. The last I heard was a feline shriek as it plummeted into the depths. A harsh pant of breath behind me made me spin around. Not a second too soon, a coyote lunged at me, teeth snapping at my throat. I barely managed to dodge out of the way before it took a chunk out of me. The coyote's lashing paws scraped across my arm, drawing blood through the sleeve of my jacket. It landed and whipped around with a gnash of its teeth. The flare of anger inside me grew hotter, and not just for myself. Back in the Shifter Village, two coyotes had savaged Kylie, while their wolfish leader had attacked me. I had no doubt at all that this asshole was one of them. I clasped hold of that fiery fury and wrenched it free. My body burst from its clothes, expanding into dragon form. The coyote flinched back with a startled whine as I loomed over it. Fire bubbled up my throat. I opened my mouth to fry the attempted murderer back to Kingdom Come, and Nate charged between me and the coyote. The grizzly was only half as tall as my dragon's body, but he managed to block my aim completely. I swung my sinewy neck, determined to take a snap at my attacker. Nate growled from deep in his chest and tackled the coyote first. They rolled, biting and swiping. I clenched my jaw, knowing I couldn't bring out the flames without roasting my bear alpha, too. Damn it! Why couldn't he let me handle one thing by myself? I swung around to check on the other guys, my scaled shoulders brushing the cave wall. There wasn't much room for me to maneuver in here. The wolverine was just making a dash between West and Marco. Marco cut it off at the last second, battering its eyes with both paws and heaving it onto its side. West leapt over with a snap of his teeth. Aaron dove down, placing a threatening set of talons over the wolverine's neck. He meant to trap it in hopes it would shift back into human state so they could question it, I had to guess. But the wolverine wasn't willing to face that consequence. With a grunt, it wrenched its head up, stabbing the eagle's claw through its neck. Blood gushed out. Its furred body slumped. Aaron gave a cry and flapped away. Nate pounded the coyote's head against the ground with one thick paw. The nimbler animal shuddered and scrambled away. I lunged toward it, smoke curling through my mouth. My dragon's gaze locked with the coyote's. A totally human panic flashed through its eyes. I hesitated, wondering if there was some way I could restrain it without killing it. Before I could think of one, the coyote hurled itself over the edge of the chasm. It plummeted out of sight after its ally. I stared at the gap. hot breath rasping in my throat. My hold over my dragon form trembled. I let myself collapse back into my human body. The frigid air closed in around me again with a prickling ache. I scrambled for my jacket, the only thing I'd managed to cast off before I'd gotten far into the shift. The rest of the clothes I'd been wearing were shredded. I tugged the jacket around me, wincing as it brushed over the scratches on my arm. My shifter body would heal them quickly, but not that fast. The guys were all shifting back, too. My eyes caught on a blotch like a scar on West's leanly muscled chest that glowed with a faint reddish light. Then my gaze dropped to the limp body of a middle-aged man with a wiry beard that lay where the Wolverine had died. Blood pooled around his head and shoulders. Marco nudged the corpse's leg with his foot and grimaced.
"So much for getting some answers out of these assholes."
My mind leapt back to the coyote, flinging itself to its death. My stomach clenched. They decided it was better to die than be caught. The rogues are pretty dedicated to their cause, aren't they? Their cause, which was seeing me and any other dragon shifters that might be left dead. Another thought struck me with a deeper horror. They must have something to protect then, right? There must be other rogues out there with other plans. Why else would it matter if we questioned them?
They could have been too ashamed of what they've gotten themselves involved with to want to face the consequences, Aaron said. But you're probably right. We can't assume the rogue threat is finished. He glanced around. I hope that's the last we see of them on this mountain, though.
There weren't very many that survived the ambush,
West said, already pulling his shirt over the strange scar I'd noticed.
What I want to know is where they came from. It looked like they practically fell from the ceiling.
I stepped closer to the wall, peering up at it. Aaron picked up the fallen flashlight and pointed it where I was staring. A slice of deeper shadow cut into the rock just below the ceiling. There's a ledge up there, I said. They got up there somehow, trying to stage another last-ditch ambush. I guess we were just lucky I'd melted all the guns this group had during their first attack.
Somehow, West repeated. Yeah, I wonder about that. Maybe the same somehow that created the trap in the floor.
It doesn't matter now, Nate said firmly. What matters is getting the power Ren's mother pointed us to, and then getting Ren out of here before anyone else comes after us.
He strode over to me, his head high, as if he saw himself as some kind of knight in shining armor. The anger I'd felt earlier flickered back up. Getting us all out, I said. I don't need special treatment, and I really don't need to be treated like a weakling. Nate blinked.
What are you talking about?
I waved my hand toward the chasm. You were so busy trying to protect me a few minutes ago that you got in my way when I was about to blast that coyote to bits. His expression tensed.
It's our job as your mates to—
No, I said, cutting him off. There was no room for argument here. Either he accepted my point or he didn't. From what I've heard, it's your job to stand beside me, not in front of me like I'm some wimp who needs to be sheltered. I can shift now. I can shift into a freaking dragon. I pointed to the bite mark on his arm. If you hadn't run in there, you wouldn't have had to get hurt. I could have handled it better than you did. The stiffness left Nate's face, leaving only a stunned blankness.
Ren?
He said, his voice quieting.
I didn't mean. Of course I know how strong you are.
My anger eased off. I knew he hadn't meant to offend me. Okay, I said. Then treat me like you know it. I'm not a China doll. Go ahead and look out for me. But let me look out for you, too. That's how it's supposed to be, isn't it? He inclined his head, a faint flush of shame coloring his cheeks. Marco cleared his throat.
If we're done with the dressing down, deserved as it might be, can we get moving? I'm liking this vacation less and less with every new development.
No kidding. I turned toward the passage ahead. A glimmer caught my eye. There, and then gone. My heart leapt. I think it's almost over. 10. Ren. As much as I wanted to run through the cave toward the beckoning glimmer, I held my legs in check this time. I didn't want to be caught unprepared by another booby trap. But the tug dragged at my chest, and that hint of light called to me, propelling me onward as fast as I'd let myself walk. The light brightened as we got closer, but it didn't expand. I realized why soon enough. The passage ahead of us narrowed into a slit so thin Nate was going to have to walk sideways to squeeze through it. The light was emanating from beyond it. As I stepped through the opening, the light flared so bright that my vision filled with white. It didn't sting my eyes, though, only filled them with a faint tingle. I blinked the brilliance away. I'd come into a large, round room where the stone walls and floor were completely smooth. A pedestal stood in the center of the room. A clear crystal, nearly the size of my head, rested in its rocky hold. The light and a faint warmth glowed from within the crystal. The glimmer danced like a flame as I stared at it. The tug inside me had fallen away. This was where it had been leading me to. This was where I was meant to be. I eased forward with a few careful steps. Shapes were carved into the pedestal's base. I bent down to examine them, holding my breath in awe. The etchings showed the forms of dragons and other figures that looked almost human, but not quite. They were a little too tall and a little too slim to look exactly right. Like the Fey woman we'd met below in the caves, like the Fey man I'd seen my mother talking to. The dragons and the Fey stood side by side, sometimes touching, sometimes facing one another. In one depiction, a Fey figure sat astride on a dragon's back. There was little detail in the faces, but all of the pictures gave me a friendly vibe. I brushed my fingers over the fine grooves in the stone. "I think this must be something the dragon shifters and the Fey created together," I said. "And that must have been a very long time ago, if there's no record of them spending time together." Aaron nodded, coming up behind me. I circled the pedestal to give him room, and my gaze fell on not just pictures, but words carved into the other side. "Between Fey and Draco, a power we birth, to give the clearest sight. To be taken in a time when no other power can set the world right." A shiver ran through me reading the words. Above them, the images showed a figure lifting the crystal, then dropping it. In the last etching, a jagged flare exploded up from it over the figure. That was what I had to do? Smash that crystal? I wasn't even sure what this power was. And the thought of even touching the glowing crystal made me nervous. It had been waiting here for centuries. Was it really meant for me? Mom had thought so. She'd made it almost this far. From what she'd said in her vision, she must have intended to bring the crystal back for me to take its power. All those trips away from home, I had to assume she'd been checking up on the shifter community. Seeing how they were getting by without us. What she'd seen, the disarray the Alphas had told me about, had driven her here, to this desperate measure. Maybe in a time when all the supernatural communities were in conflict, when rogue shifters had succeeded in nearly eliminating dragonkind, we did need to turn to something greater. It didn't matter what I was getting into. We'd come this far. I had to take this final step, or the whole journey had been for nothing. West stalked around the room warily, but he didn't make any comment.
Marco ambled over beside me to read the words for himself. Nate stayed by the door as if standing guard, and maybe also keeping a little distance from me after my outburst. I didn't regret anything I'd said, but I could feel his unhappiness from across the room. It pained me. As soon as I got this over with, we could move on, and no one would be able to claim I wasn't powerful enough to hold my own. I felt all of my alpha's eyes on me as I lifted the crystal from the pedestal. The faceted surface was glossy and hard as glass, but even warmer than the air around it. I gave in to the urge to hug it to my chest. The flickering heat licked over me, beckoning, wanting to reach all the way into me. My heart thumped. I raised the crystal to the level of my forehead. The light inside sparkled with a rainbow of colors. My chest tightened. I braced myself and dashed the crystal on the stone floor by my feet. Light exploded up over me with an even sharper rush of heat. A searing energy rippled through my skin and into my bones. My pulse stuttered, and my mouth went dry. Hell, that was intense. The energy flared right over my eyes from the inside out. The room around me faded into a gleaming haze. Through that haze, a silhouetted figure emerged. "Greetings, worthy one," she said, as the thrumming energy wrapped tighter and tighter around me. "The flame of truth is yours. Burn to destroy or burn away lies to get at what is real. The choice will be yours. Now go forward." She vanished into the light. The energy contracted into me with a jolt. Its burning ran all the way through my chest, prickling, but not outright painful. The haze in my eyes started to clear, but I couldn't see the guy standing around me. Within the fading light, another vision appeared. My mother strode into the room. My heart leapt. But then I noticed that she looked just as she had in my other vision of her from 7 years ago. The same clothes, the same age. This was the past, not the present. Her hair was rumpled and her cheeks smudged, but her eyes gleamed with determination. Her gaze settled on the crystal, the image of it that had reappeared as part of this vision. "There," she whispered, as if hesitant to disturb the peace of this place. She stepped toward the pedestal, toward the spot where I stood beyond it. I swallowed hard, clenching my hand against the impulse to reach out to her. She couldn't see me. This had all already happened. But she seemed so close. Mom extended her hands toward the crystal. Her fingers were just about to close around it when something made her head jerk around. I hadn't heard anything, but the vision didn't seem to contain any sound at all. Just the rush of energy pulsing past my ears. All at once, a crowd of other figures poured into the room as if straight out of the walls. At least a dozen slim, shimmering fae. One of them rushed between Mom and the pedestal. He shoved her backward with a spark of magic. His lips moved, but I couldn't make out the words. Mom said something back, something angry from the flash in her eyes. One of the other fae shook his head. A fae woman stepped forward with a sweep of her arm toward the doorway. My mother's jaw tightened. I felt her starting to shift before her body even twitched with the beginnings of the transformation. But the fae felt it too. At the same time, several of them, all around her, hurled glinting blasts of magic at her. The blasts hit Mom with a burst of sparks. She staggered, faltering in her attempt to shift. With her arms raised defensively, she whirled around, but the fae were already whipping more of their glittering magic toward her. It smacked into her body, driving her to her knees. A cry caught in my throat. My legs burned to run to her as if I could help. I tried to shift them, and my feet stuck to the floor. There was nothing I could do but stand here and watch this piece of history play out. Mom wasn't beaten yet.
She pushed herself to her feet and lunged at one of the Fae. Her face started to transform, scales dappling her skin, a flicker of dragon fire darting from her mouth. The Fae woman winced, but there were too many others. Before Mom could shift any farther, they caught her in another crashing wave of magic. She fell again, this time onto her side. Her chest shuddered as she tried to breathe. Her lips moved with more words I couldn't hear. Then the Fae man who'd blocked her way to the pedestal stepped closer. He clapped his hands and threw a spike of shimmering energy straight at Mom's head. She crumpled, her body slumping against the floor. I choked on a sob. The Fae looked at each other, a resolved expression crossing all their faces. One by one, they raised their hands over Mom's form. One stream of light, and then another poured down at her. The edges of her body shimmered, and then slowly started to disintegrate. My stomach turned. I couldn't stand still any longer. It didn't matter that this horrible moment was already done and over 7 years past. I had to stop this. The muscles in my legs bunched to wrench my feet from the floor with every shred of strength in me to run to her. But my joints locked. A vice seemed to clamp around my lungs. "You must watch this," a faint voice echoed in the back of my head. "Watch and witness." So I did. I watched, my eyes getting hotter and hotter as the Fae's magic ate away at my mother's body. I longed to look away, to not have to see this slow destruction. But at the same time, it did feel as if it was my duty to witness it, to acknowledge what had become of my mother, and who had done it to her. When her body had completely faded away, the Fae stepped back. The man who seemed to lead them had his mouth set in a grim line, but he brushed his hands together as if this had been nothing more than a brief bit of work. They wisped away into the walls again. The vision fell away from me. The room came back into focus, my legs wobbled, and I clutched at the pedestal to keep my balance. Marco and Aaron, still close by, each clasped one of my shoulders. Their presence steadied me, but my eyes were already full of tears. I inhaled with a hitch.
"What happened?"
Nate said, moving from the doorway.
"For a few minutes there, you looked like you were in another world."
"I saw what happened here 7 years ago," I said. My voice came out hoarse. I cleared my throat and forced out the rest of the words. "They killed her. The Fae killed my mother." 11. Ren. Aaron's eyes widened at my declaration. Marco squeezed my shoulder tighter, but I didn't want comfort right now. I wanted answers. I pulled away from him, striding to the wall. One of the walls the Fae had emerged from in my vision. I swiped my arm across my teary eyes and raised my voice in a ragged shout. "You! Fae! Where are you? Stop lurking around and come out of there! Own up to what you did, you fucking assholes! Don't you dare hide away and pretend you don't know!" My voice cut off with a growl of frustration. I lashed out at the rock, my dragon's talons already protruding from my fingers. They gouged the wall, but I didn't get any satisfaction from that act of destruction. The Fae hadn't emerged. Fucking cowards. More than a dozen of them ganging up on one woman, battering her until she couldn't even stand. My jaw clenched. "Serenity?" Aaron started, but I felt anything but serene. I whipped around, tossing off my jacket. If the Fae wouldn't come to me, I'd just have to track them down and make them pay. My muscles twanged as my body shifted fully into dragon form. I filled nearly half of the room. The pedestal suddenly looked tiny. I stalked around it, my nostrils flaring. There, A faint scent remained under the cold rock smell, like cut grass mixed with sleet. I'd never noticed that odor before, but every instinct in me told me it was the Fae. I inhaled deeply, trying to follow the trail, and paused. I could tell it was Fae, and I could also tell it was old. Stale. My dragon senses suggested the scent had been left days ago. Maybe the Fae woman who'd told us about the weasel and her companions had passed through here. I let myself shrink back to near human size to dash through the narrow entryway. Then I prowled down the length of the cave back in dragon form. I tasted the air on my tongue, dragged more into my massive lungs. Not a hint of fresh Fae scent reached me. They were nowhere around. The bastards really had just left. With a growl of frustration, I collapsed back into my human form. The stone floor chilled my bare skin, but I didn't care. I pulled my knees up to my chest and pressed my face to them, holding in a sob. Tears drew frigid streaks down my legs. Mom was gone. She'd been gone for 7 years, and I'd known all that time she might be dead. But now, it was completely real. There was no hoping for any other outcome. I didn't want to accept it. She'd come here for me, because she'd wanted to give me all the power she could so I could take this role as leader of all shifter kind, because she hadn't wanted to put me in danger by bringing me with her. Maybe if we'd been together, if I'd known what I was then. Footsteps scraped over the floor. One of the guys draped my jacket over my shoulders. They all gathered in a semicircle around me.
I knew we couldn't trust the Fae, West muttered. They helped the rogues, set us up every way they could.
Quite the strategy, Marco said. Make it look like we were taken down by our own kind so they couldn't get in trouble over breaking the treaty. Very sneaky. I'd almost admire their wiles if they hadn't been using them against me.
I don't think this is the time for jokes,
Nate said, with a frown I could hear. Aaron knelt down in front of me. When I raised my head to meet my mate's eyes, he rested his hand over mine. His expression was solemn.
We won't let this stand, he said. The Fae committed a crime, and they'll answer for it.
How? I asked in a croak. My throat felt thick with unshed tears.
When we come down from the mountain, the first thing we'd have done anyway is visit the centers of the shifter community to spread the word that you've been found and taken on your role as dragon shifter. We can start with the Avian estate, since it's the closest to here and our mate bond is already consummated, and because the monarch of the Fae has her domain only a short distance away. We'll bring the matter straight to her.
Isn't there something else we need to talk about first? Marco said. What happened with that crystal? Your mom came all the way up here for a reason, Princess. What's this power she wanted you to have?
I reached my awareness through the ache of grief inside me and the soreness of my overworked muscles. Nothing inside me felt all that different. The flame of truth, that strange figure had called it when I'd smashed the crystal. Burn to destroy or burn away lies. My lungs tickled at the thought of breathing fire. Could I produce a different kind of flame now? I didn't think I could even manage to shift back into my dragon form after 2 transformations in such close succession. My endurance still had a ways to go. I'm not totally sure, I said. It has something to do with my dragon fire and with finding the truth. The flame inside the crystal is what showed me what happened to my mother. Somehow I'm supposed to be able to use it to get at what is real. But it didn't come with an instruction manual or anything. Wouldn't it have been nice if it had? I guessed like everything else since my life had taken this crazy turn, I'd just have to figure it out as I went along.
That sounds useful, given how things have been going, Nate said. You'll be able to tell who to trust.
Once I figure out how to use it. I gave my eyes another swipe and pushed myself onto my feet. My loss still weighed heavy on me, but I had my four alphas to protect now, even as they protected me. I had a whole community of shifters to look after. And the Fae, who'd killed my mother, were still out there, committing who knew what other crimes against us. All right, I said. Let's get off this mountain, and then I want a meeting with the Fae Monarch. I lifted my head at the smell of salt seeping into the SUV. We were coming up on the coast, which meant coming up on the estate by the Pacific Ocean where Aaron oversaw the avian kin group. Today I was going to meet that kin group as his mate and one of their leaders. My skin itched at the thought. I curled tighter into the back seat and looked at my phone again. Kylie had just replied to my last text.
I wish I could be there with you, Ren. You shouldn't have to deal with news like that without your bestie. I know how much your mom meant to you.
I wish you were here, too, I wrote back. The one comfort of getting off the mountain had been getting my cell phone service back, although there was still a lot I wasn't sure how to tell Kylie. It was easier to go back to joking around. You're just sad you're missing out on all the eye candy.
Hey, they're your mates. I don't mess around with taking guys. But you can't blame a girl for enjoying the view.
She added a winking emoji.
Are you handling it okay? Is there anything you want me to send from here?
I considered, but we'd only just moved into our apartment. I hadn't exactly accumulated a lot of possessions during my years living on the streets. Part of me longed to snuggle up under the crocheted blanket we'd spread on the back of the used couch we'd scored, and feel that familiarity of home again. But I had other things to take care of first. It wasn't just the avian estate up ahead. The Fae Monarch's domain lay nearby, too. I hadn't told Kylie about that part of this trip. Hadn't even told her what I'd seen of my mom's death, only that I'd seen it. If she knew I was about to go confront a bunch of murdering magical beings, she'd really freak out. What was the point in worrying her when she was too far away to help?
Are we there yet?
Marco called from the seat ahead of me with a mock, childish voice. I gently kicked the seat back and he shot an amused smile my way. Aaron chuckled where he was sitting at the front in his usual spot as navigator.
Almost. Why are cats always so restless? Because we know we have so much to contribute to the world, and can't stand to be held back, Marco declared.
He propped his feet against the driver's seat in front of him. Nate, who was sitting in that seat, made a gruff sound of dismissal.
I don't remember you contributing a whole lot to this trip, other than picking out the most expensive dishes at the restaurant last night.
Marco waved him off.
I just spent a week on a mountain eating non-perishables, including food that was outright poisoned. We all deserved a good meal after that.
No one looked at me as he said that, but I felt the shift in attention all the same. All of the guys except West had offered to keep me company in the back seat, but I told them I wanted a little time to myself to think and chat with Kylie. I knew they were still worried about my reaction to finding out about Mom's death. I hadn't wanted to eat a whole lot at the restaurant, true. I just wanted to get out here and see some justice done. As if he'd picked up on that thought, Aaron directed his voice toward me.
As soon as we arrive, I'll send one of my people to arrange an audience with the Fae Monarch. It shouldn't take long for her to respond. And I'm sure they'll be so happy to entertain us,
West grumbled, where he was sitting beside Marco. I ignored him. Thank you, I said to Aaron. The salt smell in the air thickened, The SUV pulled up to a wrought iron gate set in a high stone wall. My pulse kicked up a notch. Instinctively, I slipped my hand into my pocket to squeeze Mom's locket. The solid metal made me feel slightly more grounded. "I think I better say my goodbyes for the moment," I texted to Kylie. "It looks like I'm just about there."
"Go be the best dragon shifter queen they've ever seen," she replied.
I smiled, but as I put my phone away, I didn't feel at all queenly. I was wearing a tee and jeans and no makeup. My body was still sore from all that hiking up and down the mountain. I had no idea what to even expect from a shifter estate. Aaron had explained that the kin groups each had a sort of center of operations. The avians in the northwest, the canines in the northeast, the felines in the southeast, and the assorted group Nate ruled over in the southwest. The alphas traveled throughout the country as they needed to, but they met with their advisors and kept their records on the estate. Any shifter who needed help could always show up there and know they'd be taken care of. The dragon shifters had an estate, too, one that had been left vacant for 16 years, right smack in the middle of the country, so it didn't favor any of the kin groups over the others. That was where my entire family had been when the rogues had launched their first attack. My gut twisted at the thought of going back to that place. I had happy childhood memories from my first 5 years growing up there, but my last memories of the house and the grounds around it were full of violence and panic. Trills of music filtered through the sides of the van. I peered out the window. A huge mansion had just come into view up ahead. All its windows shone with inner light amid the deepening evening. White marble columns framed the double doors, and sculptures of bird-like figures clustered along the eaves of the angled roof. Trees lining the drive leading up to the mansion were strung with sparkling lanterns. A massive courtyard lay between the forested grounds and the mansion's broad front steps. In that courtyard, a swarm of figures had gathered. They were whirling in time with the music, swinging lights of their own. Then someone must have caught sight of the SUV. A cheer rose up. The dancers stilled to watch our arrival. Aaron glanced back at me.
"My kin are all looking forward to meeting you," he said. "They wanted to make your first visit here special."
I hugged myself, trying to contain my nerves. These shifters wanted to like me. I was their alpha's mate. But stepping out into this excited crowd was a far cry from being questioned and pawed over by a small group of villagers in the shifter town we'd stopped at on our way to the mountain. There had to be hundreds of people gathered together before us.
"I don't know what to say to them," I said. "Or what to do, or..."
"Just be yourself. Be our Princess of Flames." Marco aimed his sly grin at me. "No one could ask for anything more than that."
I wasn't so sure about that. But as Nate drew the SUV to a stop at the edge of the courtyard, I pulled my back up straight. This was it. This was the start of the whole rest of my life as the dragon shifter who held the four shifter kin groups together. I'd fought to be here, and now I was going to damn well make as much of it as I could.
12. West. A woman who smelled like a sparrow bumped into me from behind. A second later, a sparrow shifter jostled me to the side with his elbow. Gritting my teeth, I wove toward the edge of the courtyard. Music seemed to be clanging from every direction, only slightly louder than the cacophony of voices. And there were a lot of voices. Avians always had an awful lot to say. Wolves were pack animals, sure, but a proper pack was 10, maybe 15 strong. We didn't enjoy crowds. No room to run, no room to maneuver. How anyone enjoyed them, I didn't have a clue. And no one here gave any deference to my status as Alpha. All their attention was focused on their returning leader, and of course the maid at his side. I glanced back over the bobbing heads. Aaron's kin had set up a platform in the middle of the courtyard so that he could stand there and show off Ren.
The dragon shifter was smiling and shaking hands and accepting hugs, but her stance was just as uncertain as it had been in that canine village when she'd been swarmed. A twinge I didn't like ran through my chest. The impulse to go to her, to lend my presence as support. Was she really ready for this? I set my jaw. If she wanted this role, she was going to have to be ready. This time I couldn't step in and usher her away to give her some breathing room. This was the Eagle Shifter's show. Anyway, she'd asked for this by consummating the mate bond with Aaron. Let her have it. I wrenched my eyes away and spotted Marco at the edge of the courtyard. I'd have expected the Jaguar Shifter to be right there in the middle of the festivities, given the way he usually chased after fun as if it were a particularly tasty mouse. But maybe he was having a private party of his own here. He'd gathered a group of shifters around him who didn't look at all avian. As I came up to them, I got a good whiff. Felines. All of them. "What's with the cat convention over here?" I asked. Marco's gaze slid to me. He flicked his fingers dismissively. "A kin delegation caught up with me here. The vampires back in New York are throwing a bit of a tantrum. Nothing we can't sort out by ourselves." "Vamps," I grimaced. "After that encounter on their territory, I can't blame them for being pissed off." "Well, we didn't have much choice in tangling with them, did we? And now we get to tangle with the Fae. Although, to be fair, in that case, the Fae started it." One of the other feline shifters tapped Marco's elbow. Marco leaned in to hear whatever comment the guy didn't want me listening in on. As if I were all that interested in their private chat. I was happy to leave the vamp taming to them. Of course, I'd rather be dealing with vamps than the Fae. A prickle crept over my skin as I turned away. Ren was so set on taking the fight to the Monarch, she had no idea what she was getting into. No idea how fucking dangerous the Fae could be. They'd killed her mother to stop her from getting to the mysterious power Ren now carried, which meant they'd see Ren as twice as much of a threat. Going to them, no matter how horrendous their past crimes were, was only asking for trouble. But our dragon shifter didn't like hearing the word no, did she? My eyes were drawn to her again where she stood on the platform. I couldn't deny that, even in her plain human clothes, there was something regal about her, something majestic she was growing into, something I wanted to touch and taste and own. A rush of desire flooded through my veins. I clamped down on it, pushing it away. How could I know that feeling was really mine and not just a symptom of the mate bond, which only existed because of what we were, not who we were? Every instinct was pushing me toward her, but that didn't mean it was the right decision. She had much more to learn. So much more discipline to develop. I just had to stop myself from giving in to the urge to be the one to teach her. My people were counting on me to make the right choice here, to lead them in whatever direction would serve them best. Ren was getting the chance to show who she was as a shifter now, as the dragon shifter all these people had been waiting for. It wouldn't take much time to see if she'd shine or sputter out. My gaze was still glued to her. Damn if she wasn't shining right now. She beamed at a woman who'd come up to the platform to pay her respects, and her face turned toward me. I ducked my head before she could catch me watching her. She'd already seen far too much of the power she held over me. I had to keep my distance until I was sure.
Ren. Aaron touched the small of my back and leaned in so I could hear him over the noise of the crowd around us.
"Doing okay?" he asked.
"Yeah," I said, with a smile I meant. My body swayed automatically to the music pealing out across the courtyard. The nervous energy I'd felt earlier had transformed into a more enjoyable exhilaration. "Doing good. I mean, it's a little overwhelming, but everyone's so nice. What could I complain about?" He chuckled.
"Glad to hear it. They've been waiting for this day a long time."
And so had he. A little flare of pride sparked inside me. He'd led his people for so many years on his own, from when he was little more than a boy. And now, I got to stand beside him. I curled my fingers into the front of his shirt and pressed my lips to his. Aaron traced his thumb over my cheek, kissing me back gently but thoroughly until I lost my breath. A jolt of desire shot through me. Suddenly, I did mind the crowd around us quite a bit. But they didn't mind our PDA. A cheer rose up around us. I pulled back, flushed and grinning. Sorry. Aaron outright laughed at my apology.
For what?